Grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation today is recorded for us in the fourth chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, beginning at the 17th verse. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Here ends the reading of our scripture text. You may be seated. This week in the church year, we actually observe some of the most important things that we do as followers of Christ. Namely, reach out to others with the gospel. Our Lord, of course, graciously equips his followers to go out, and he gives them that gracious command, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing and teaching them in the name of the triune God." But before our Lord gave his marching orders to his followers, he gathered them, graciously calling them and saying, "Come, follow me." And as they did, it was some 3 years as he equipped them, preparing them for the work he would have them to do. It seems fairly certain that our text does not show the very first time that Jesus met these men. The Apostle John actually identifies them as being those who were first encountered after Jesus' baptism, when he came by the Jordan, and John the Baptist pointed out and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And of course, that identified him as the very Savior that so many for so long had longed for, and that he had come. It took a little while for those early disciples to finally follow him, and certainly his call of urgency in this text comes to the point where he is asking them to commit their time, even to leave behind their jobs, even their families, to follow him and to be his disciples. But we know that promise was given and was certainly fulfilled. And he says, "I will make you fishers of men." In those 3 years that he taught them, as they continued to be with him before, after, especially during his redemptive act, certainly points to experience and teachings that we all would long to see, and in some cases would even dread to see. And yet they were witnesses of the most important event for all time, the life, death, and ultimately the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel, that is the net which he hands them as fishers of men to bring into the grace of God and to his kingdom of grace those souls who are lost apart from his grace. That's why the Apostle Paul acknowledges the profound power in this gospel. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." No doubt, the making of disciples in our day is no cakewalk. It's no easy task. It's extremely difficult when you consider all the things that oppose our proclamation of the gospel. And how so many times as we look around us, there is a secular humanistic view that constantly blocks the way of the truth, that would ward off the word that God would so graciously give and have us proclaim so that hearts might be changed. On top of that, we notice that there is an open hostility towards Christianity. And when you think about it, you have to ask yourself, how much does that keep people away from the very place that they would hear this gospel? The very place where they would be brought in to that kingdom of grace through the means God provides. One of the more telling and perhaps alarming symptoms that I saw of late was in this last few weeks. There was a young man from Tacoma, Washington, who did a kind of hip-hop video and put it on YouTube. He was openly declaring that Jesus came to abolish religion. And his broad brush that he used in making his claim caused many to falter in these past few weeks. For you see, ultimately, as he disparaged and did his diatribe against religion, he was painting the church with that brush and poisoning the very waters from which people would receive life. You know, our Lord knew his followers would face opposition in this world. He knew that they would at times even be persecuted for that message. And he also knew that they would battle against that enemy that we're so familiar with, our own sinful flesh. And it was in that case that we recognize the disciples often would falter in following Jesus. And yet we recognize that Jesus was always there, calling them back to repentance, seeking to restore them and to equip them for this work. You know, it took the very love of God, the one who created us, who continues to sustain us, to redeem us. We could not redeem ourselves. We were lost, dead in trespasses and sin. But in his great love, he set aside that divine glory that he had in eternity and took on human flesh on our behalf. When our Lord was born of the Virgin, he took our place under the law. And ultimately, by doing that, he fulfilled that law for us, obtaining the righteousness you and I cannot obtain. And not only that, but then laying down that holy life and shedding his holy and precious blood in order to cleanse us from our sins so we could stand before God in that perfect white robe of his righteousness, knowing our sins are forgiven. That he, by his grace, has called us by this gospel to be his children, to be his followers, and to assure us that he is with us the very end of the age. That explanation of the third article is something we hold so near and dear, should never forget, that we know that we cannot, by our own reason or strength, believe on Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called us by the gospel and enlightened us with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps us in the true faith. He spreads that net of the gospel upon us and draws us to himself. And he would have us to know all the blessings that he has prepared for those who love him. You know, well, as we see here, our Lord not only invites us to follow him, but he equips us as his followers. He equips us to then go out and make other disciples. Now, we organize, don't we? We actually understand that we've been given the command to appoint those who are elders over us, who are shepherds for our souls. And we recognize that as we gather in the congregation, we gather around his word. We gather around the blessed means through which he brings us into his kingdom, so that we're not only brought into that kingdom, but nurtured and strengthened in that faith. And so we honor his command to bring those who were born, conceived and born, dead in trespasses and sin, to his grace through the waters of baptism, to receive the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And that is why we would also gather to hear those words of absolution, the pronouncement of forgiveness for Jesus' sake, proclaimed to us as if Jesus himself were speaking those words, for he is. As we repent of our sins, we know he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And also he urges us then to gather, to congregate, to come around his altar and to receive the very body and blood of our Lord, whereby he has obtained our salvation. And not only are we strengthened in this, but we also are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Yes, our Lord urges us then and invites us in this gracious way. Come, follow me. We know the disciples were faithful in that calling. All you have to do is look around you. And you see the church, that invisible kingdom which people are coming physically manifested here as a result of that faithful proclamation of his word. That's why you are here. To hear, to know, and to be assured that God in his love has redeemed you and made you his own. That's why we come to follow our Lord. And this making of disciples and the responsibility of carrying on this wonderful heritage falls upon our shoulders. That wonderful responsibility we have, not only to be the ones up front proclaiming that word, but sharing that word with one another, encouraging one another, supporting the work of the public ministry and all that we do, and supporting the training of those workers who will go out in our behalf. What a joy to know that as we gather, Jesus gives us a very clear definition of what a disciple is. And this is where we strive, by his grace, to follow. For he says in John 8, that if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And then he goes on to explain that there is another aspect that shows the world that you are his disciples. He says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Speaking the truth in love, we follow our Lord, even as those early disciples did. And we know that as we have this joyous message of salvation, this blessed net of the gospel, we too are fishers of men. And may the Lord strengthen us and keep us in this faith, that we may be faithful in following him. Amen.